Amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, we have reached the 13th chapter. And the next five chapters, 13 through 17, are those just loaded chapters. They're all about the last words of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to go out, he's going to go. He's going to leave his disciples, his apostles, going to leave the believer like us on planet Earth to carry out our assignment. As he was in the world, so are we. Now, so here we are looking for God to deal with us. And in chapter 13, etc., he starts. All of it is in the upper room. All of it is personal. The disciples, the last message in John for the world, was chapter 12, 44 to 50, thereabout, in there. Now it's just to the disciples. This is the last message to the disciples as a group. After this, he's not going to speak to them as a group until he goes to the cross. So now, seeing and looking at that momentous section, and the last words of someone are very important. And our Lord is giving instructions to his troops to go out. And they need to understand all that he's going to tell them. And he's going to make them ready and able to succeed. Not to fail, to succeed. Now, so in John chapter 13. Now, remember now, this is the evening in the morning hours come, he's going to, in the garden, to the trials, to the crucifixion. This is the evening meal. It is the Passover meal, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved he loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Now, taking that apart a little bit, now before, in the light of the Passover, the feast of the Passover, now before that, the feast of the Passover, he was there and he was helping them, going to give them this, going to have, now, you got to say it quickly, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke are going to deal with the feast. They have the Lord's table, the communion table, as it were, we call it, for us anyway. And they had the meal, and as they had the meal, they're going to go out to the garden, and everything's the same. And thus he's looking, and when they had the meal, it was an evening meal, evening. Remember the time changed at evening, and at 6 o'clock it became the next day. And they had the evening supper. When it comes to the Gospel of John, he doesn't deal with that. What he does, he doesn't mention the Lord's Day. He doesn't do that. He goes straight and says, listen, we're going to have this feast before the Passover. And John is looking at the Passover as the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. He's looking at the trial and the crucifixion. Same thing, just different window. Now, in the light of that, keeping that in mind, it's the Passover feast. Now, remember now the reason for that. Hold your finger here, and over to the book of Exodus, if I can, and in chapter 12. And you want to see the little verb, Exodus and chapter 12. And may I pick up the thought in verse 13. Exodus 12 and 13. And the blood shall be to you, remember the blood on the hyssop, they did the doorpost in the top, and the blood shall be to you be a, for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite you, when I smite the land of Egypt. Now, do you see the verb when I pass over? Pass over, to pass beyond. I'm going to go beyond. I'm here. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to go beyond it. I'm going to go to the next place. I'm going to pass over. That's the Passover. And you'll see it again, verse 22 even. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of the house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood, verse 23, when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and upon the two sides of the post, the Lord will pass over, there's your verb, the door, and he will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto you, unto your house, to smite you. So here's the Passover. Jack over to John, chapter 13. The Passover was a special feast to remind themselves of the day that they ate ever so quickly before they exited out of the land of Egypt. And they did that. So this is a reminder, if you would, of the Passover. And they ate the meal, the Passover meal, before they sacrificed the Passover lamb. Now, and you'll notice, please, as you're reading in chapter 13 and in verse 1, Jesus knew his hour was come. He knew that hour. And the little word know, the verb, know, the knower is knowing the object. The knower is knowing the object. Sometimes it's just to know the object. This is the knower person is knowing. It's a relationship. The Lord Jesus Christ, in full knowledge, he knew his hour, and we shared together chapter 12 and verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be crucified. And remember, this he said, signifying what death he should die. So the hour had come. He knew it was right there. They were right on top of it. It was right going to happen in the next few minutes, as it were. So the hour is there. So he knew this. So he knew he was going to go out to the garden, the trial, and the cross. So therefore, he's going to give them some very, as he thinks and honors them, and he's going to think about them. He isn't thinking about other people out here all over the world. Christ died for them. But he's zeroing in on his own. He's singling his words to his own. They're his own. His own. Nobody else. They're for them. Now, hang on. For the believing heart, for his own. And in the light of that, chapter 8, verse 14. And in chapter 8, picking up, please, in verse 14, he knows. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know, there's your word, whence I came and whither I go. But you cannot tell whence whence I came and whither I go. Verse 16. And yet, if I judge my judgment is true, and I am not alone, but I and my and the Father that sent me, we're one. Now, I know where I came from. I know where I'm going. There's no question about it. I am knowing. No question. Now, in the light of that, chapter 10 for a moment. And you'll notice, in just to pick up, so you pick up the movement, chapter 10 and in verse 4. Remember, he's the shepherd of the sheep, if you would. And in chapter 10, picking up in verse 4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they hear me, and they follow me. Verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So I know. They're mine. They're my sheep. Chapter 12. I'm just showing a couple of places to remind you. Chapter 12, verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be also. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So God, it's a relationship. You're talking to your own, more particularly, easily, chapter 17. Chapter 17. Picking up, if I may, in verse 9, 17 and 9. And his prayer before to the Father before he goes out to the garden. Verse 9, 17. 17, 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine. They belong to the Father. All that you've given me belong to the Father. And verse 10. All mine that belong to the Son are thine, they belong to the Father. And thine, those which belong to the Father, are mine, they belong to me. And I am glorified in them. I want you to know, I'm speaking to my own. It's very personal, very awesome, wonderful, wonderful. Hang on to it. It's a personal thing. So God, are you going to be, here's the general wonderful mood of God all over the world, dealing with people. But to know him as your Savior is to be able to have a personal relationship to God. And God's word is very personal. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Very personal. Personal. Become very personal to my own. I'm telling you, as my own. That's awesome to have that. Now, slide over if you would, while you're here. In chapter 14, and he's going to go to the Father. So just check that out. And in chapter 14, may I go to verse 12? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, shall he do, because I go to my Father. I came, I know where I've come from, I know where I'm going. I'm going back. Verse 28. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. I'm going to the Father. That's what I'm doing. All the way, chapter 16. chapter 16, and in verse 10, the righteousness, the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God is going to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Verse 10, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Verse 28, I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. So, Lord, it's your hour, it's your time. You are very knowledgeable of what's going to happen. You already know it. You know how it's going to be. And in the process, you're going to go to the Father where you came from. And you're very conscious of all of that wonderful, wonderful relationship. And you're going to exercise it. And the disciples are to understand what's going to happen. You're going to leave them and go to the Father. This is the last Passover feast that they're going to have together, and until he comes. So now he does that. He tells them very clearly, I'm going to go to the Father. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, I'm going to depart and go to the Father. Now, just for the sake of helpfulness, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to leave and go depart. Now, I want you just to see that verb, interestingly enough, over, if you would, to the, while you're here, the Gospel of John, chapter 5. He's going to depart. The Lord's going to depart. Now, he's going to pass. He's going to go forward. He's going to go from one place to another place. He's going to go from here to there. Now, interesting, for the believing heart that receives the Lord as a Savior, verse 24, chapter 5. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, judgment, no, that's not going to happen, but is passed, there's your word, to go from one place to another, from death unto life. I'm going to go from here to my Father. You are going to go from a state of death to a state of life, just like that. As far as I'm concerned, God said, you and I have a safe, saving, satisfying relationship. Wow. Now, having said that little bit, back over into chapter 13. Now remember in verse 2. Let me finish verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, and that he should depart, pass over to the Father, out of the world unto the Father, and having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. So now, he loved them. Having loved them, he loved them. He loved them all the way to the end. He loved his own. He's talking about his special, he loves his body. He loves his people. He loves the believing heart. Having loved his own. So having loved his own, he's going to go and depart. And in the process, he's going to do so he's going to love them. And in loving them, he's going to insist on loving them. And he's going to persist on loving them. And he's going to assist in loving them. All three. Mm-hmm. Having loved his own, and he loved them. And in the process, he loved them he loved his own which were in the world. So he's looking at the believers. They're sitting around the table, etc., with him, and he loved them. He loved them unto the end. And the word "end" there, E-N-D, love the end, is a beginning. In other words, he has kept everything perfect. Everything he's loved them. He's loved them. He's arrived at the fulfillment of that, his death on the cross, and he continues to love them. He loves them all the way to the end where he's headed. He didn't quit. He didn't back off. Peter's going to back off and deny him, all kinds of things, but not him. He's going to love them all the way to the cross. Love them unto the end. And then he's going to go and make it so that he exercises his wonderful love in them. Unto the end. He's going to insist and persist. Quit. No, he can't quit. In order to assist. That's what love does. That's what we want to look at for a minute. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, you are aware in John chapter 13, John chapter 3, we won't even go there. John chapter 3, verse 16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved the world. God's loving them. Okay, hang on. Chapter 15, John chapter 15. And in John chapter 15, picking up, if I may, in verse 9, which you read, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. The Father's loving the Son. The Son is loving the Father. And the believing heart is to continue in that love, in my love, in his love. That's right. Now, how am I going to do that? I'm going to continue in his love. Now, we shared that recently. Remember, here's our love. And we love, we use the word L-O-V-E, a popular word. And we love, it means many things. L-O-V-E is translated 10,000 different ways. And everyone loves, more or less, something, someone. They love pizza, whatever, and we do. And we love that. And love means to a person whatever it means, to whatever degree it means. And everyone has this love. Now, why is it that it's so hard to let people love us? It is because when you want, everyone has their own understanding of love, and they're going to project that. They aren't projecting the other guy's love. They're projecting their understanding of love. So I don't want them controlling me and taking over my love. So I am going to be very restrictive in blocking out being too much loved. I don't mind being loved, but not loved, because then it means I'm going to be absorbed into the other person's thinking of love. And I don't want to do that. I don't want that control. I don't want that over me. And when it comes to God, it's the same thing. We come to God and loves us. We don't mind God loving us. And we, in turn, will receive that love based on our definition and understanding of love. So we're going to receive the love, if we do, that he died on the cross. And we're going to go and exercise the love. Now, God, but that isn't, there's more than that. It isn't about that little bit. No. As the Father loved me, and I love him, verse 9, so have I loved you. So God, you're loving us as the Father does. That's correct. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. So, and I honored God. I do nothing of myself, the Lord Jesus said in chapter 5. I do nothing of myself. All that I do is I look to God to honor him. My job is to represent the Father in all of his fullness. Your job, believer, is to represent the Son in all of his fullness. That's your job. As I represent the Father, I keep and honor him. So, God, what are you going to do? We're to represent you in all of your fullness. That's correct. Now, hang on. And thus, and verse 10, and my Father, and abide in his love. So abiding in his love. Now, Lord, as perfect man, how did he abide in the love of God the Father? He let God the Father love him. Not his love, the Father's love in his life. All that the Father wanted, all that the Father wishes, he wants that in his life. That's love. Agape. Love. What do you mean? Well, God said, to say it the simplest, awesomest way I can, it is, God said, I want to be all that I am in your heart, in your life. That's my love. So if you let God love you, you're backing off of your love and looking for his love to be expressed, all that God is and wants and wishes for your personal life. Wow, that's what I want. Now you're letting God love you. Jesus Christ, the perfect man, let God love him. He didn't have love. He wanted all that the Father had. His words, his works, his wisdom, his witness. I represent the Father in a most awesome way. And in verse 10, and if you abide in my love, I abide in the Father's love, you abide in my love. So God, what are we looking for? We want to be able to enjoy you. You're telling us you have loved us, John 13:1. You love us. You're already loving. Continue to love all the way to the cross and beyond. So you aren't going to quit? Nope, not going to quit. All the way, you're going to love us. So what does it mean? Well, we're to abide in your love. You represent the Father and the Father's will for our life. And as we look to you and honor you, then and abide what? In your love. Your love is the Father's love. That's right. So as I let God love me, I'm going to let God be God in our little life, in all of his fullness. God, your word, your will, your life, your breath. God, we breathe. We breathe the air, we breathe you, your awesome person, God, just to be who you are. I'm going to let you, God, love me. I'm going to yield to your love. I'm not going to try to mess it up. I just want it. Lord, you as perfect man did it. I as a humbled sinner saved by grace, that's what we do, to receive that love. Now hang on to that awesome, wonderful truth. Chapter 17. Chapter 17, if I may, picking up in verse 23. I in them, and thou in me, why? That they may be made perfect in how? Complete, how? Perfect in one. One. Not two different kinds of love, not two different kinds of plan, no, one plan, one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me. Here's a walking up and down the street, work, home, and school, and hath loved them as thou hast loved me. So God, what are you looking for? Well, we're supposed to be a witness, his witness, believers saved by God's grace, to show his wonderful saving grace. And to do so, we're letting God love us. And what's the world going to see? They're going to see that our Heavenly Father loves us. And we're letting God love us on his wonderful terms, basis. That's what he's doing. And he's going to do that. Wow. And if I can, verse 24. Father, I will that they also which thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which... which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost are one. And that oneness, out of that oneness is love. And that's the love that God has to the believing heart that trusts Him. And it's like nothing else in forever. And we let God love us. All we do is yield to the love. Not to each other, because we don't do that very well at all. We don't do that. But for God to get to us. And God, love us. According to your wonderful person, in your saving grace, in the light of your mercy, thank you. Thank you for wanting the very best for us. In a decisive decision of your will, you decided to give yourself to such as us, to be our God, to be our Savior. Wow. That's what it's about. Uh-huh. That's what it's all about. Now, having said that little bit, over, if you would please, to Galatians. Over in Galatians, please. And you will note Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, a man go directly not to the works of the flesh, verse 19, but to the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc. So the first thing, love, and you're going to use that all over the place to name all of the wonderful things the Spirit of God does. He isn't going to repeat a list every time. He's just going to say love. The Spirit of God loves, and that means everything comes with it. Now, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to give love. The Spirit of God is going to love us. He's going to love us. Now, the Spirit of God, as you know, knows the will of God the Father and honors it. So God, the Holy Spirit, is going to love us. That's right. Now, you're going to love us. And now, what am I going to do to help? Well, I'm going to help you be able to love the Father, to love the Son, and then the Father. I'm going to help you do it. Now, where am I going to get this love? God, I don't have that kind of love. The love, remember now, God giving Himself to you. Now, you have nothing to give back, but the Spirit of God is going to be to you, and in you, the believing heart, going to give you that, what? He wants, He's looking for and going to outwork in your life the Father's will. And when He does that, that is love. That's love happening in your life. And when that love happens in your life, you are loving God. You are loving God. You're loving His will. The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to do for us what we can't do. I can't make peace. I can't make joy. I can't be long-suffering. I can't love. But God, you do. Not the love. I want that kind of love. I don't want my kind of love. I don't want my wife's kind of love. I don't want my children's kind of love. I don't want anyone's kind of love. I just want your kind of love. And I yield to it. And the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to make it happen in a most awesome and wonderful way. Now, in the process of that, So, and our Lord said that's what He's looking for. He's looking for us to love Him in order that we can, and love Him. The only way we can love Him is keep His word. The only way we can keep His word is by abiding. We have to abide in what? Rest in His love. We're abiding in His, who He is and what He's after, His will, His wishes, His wants. John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And as you know, the great chapter, 1 John chapter 4, picking up in thought, And you know, I may go directly and get the motive movement. Verse 10. 1 John 4:10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation, satisfaction for our sins. He satisfied in God's wonderful death on the cross. He satisfied the penalty, paid the penalty, took the punishment, and provided us righteousness. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. If no man has seen God at any time, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. So we're looking to God, and if I let God love me, say it another way, if I let God love me, then God's going to work His will and plan for my personal life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, until I end up in God's holy place, heaven. True? God's going to do that for my life. That's what's going to happen. And so, if I'm going to do it, so I'm going to look to God, and verse 12, no man has seen God as we shared at any time, the invisible, infinite God, and we love one another, and God dwells in us, and His love is perfected in us. Verse 13, hereby know we ye that we loved Him, we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of the Spirit of God. Well, what have we just read? The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to provide for us love, among other things. So God, it isn't something I have to conjure up, I have to make up, I have to develop, I have to find somewhere. No, I already have it. In my wonderful relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to produce the outworking of God's will for one's life. That's what God's going to do. The Spirit of God's going to do that. And thus, verse 13, hereby we know that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. If we seem and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God dwelleth in Him, and He in God. So, looking to God, honoring our Lord Jesus Christ, He that hath the Son hath life. And verse 16, And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, underlined. And He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in Him. So if I dwell in God, I'm looking to God to do His wonderful work in my life. And as He's going to do that work, I'm in the middle of God. Hang on to that. I'm in the middle of God. I'm letting God's wonderful will work out in my life. As I do that, verse 19, we are loving Him because He first loved us. So I want God's will for my life. And that means that it isn't my will, it isn't my anything. It's God's wonderful working in my life. And now, if I'm going to do that and look to God, and God's going to, and verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is in the world, as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment, judgment, punishment, hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now, God, what do you want? You want Your will for our life. Your will, all that satisfies your holy, happy person. That's what you want. And there's no torment and no fear. It's all awesomely good. You want God's, and God is good as a person. He can only do good. And that goodness, wow, that's what you want working out. That's correct. That's correct. Over to Romans 8. Romans in chapter 8, picking up, if I may, in thought. Chapter 8, verse 28. You know it. I'll even read the end, verse 27, to get the Spirit of God's ministry. But he that searcheth the hearts knoweth the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints, according to not our will, but the will of God. And we know, verse 28, that all things work together for good to them that love God. I want God's wonderful will. Love. I want to love God. We love him because he first loved us. I'm not talking about some fancy thing in my head or heart. I want what God wants. God's going to give himself, and that's what I want. That's what you want if you're saved. You should want that. And in God's giving of himself, then you're going to be loved. And you want God's love outworked in your life. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, sickness and health, easy, hard, much, little. That's what you want. And you're looking for that. You're letting God love you. And as you let God love you, verse 28, all things work together for good. That's what they do. God's going to make it all come out. No matter how bad or how whatever, it's going to come out all right, because God's going to work it out to make it come out. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So God, you're going to do such a wonderful thing in our heart and life. That's correct. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword? No, not at all. Verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So we're loving God, but to get all the good, to make everything come out good. This morning, you trusted God for God's will for the morning. This afternoon, trusting God's will for this afternoon. Trusting God's will at work, school, tomorrow, if the Lord tarries. You're going to do all of these things. You're trusting God's outworking. That's what you're doing. You're leaning on that. You're leaning on that. You're abiding in that. That's right. And as you abide in that, you enjoy that. So then it isn't, I don't know what's going to happen, neither do you. 10 minutes from now, we have no idea. God knows. So already knows. We can guess, but we don't know. We don't know for nothing till we get there. Wow. So God, we're going to trust you. And we want what you want. We're going to let you love us. That's right. And as we let you love us, what's going to happen? Well, all things are going to work together for good. And all things are going to work together for good. Verse 37, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So as we're loving you, you're loving us. So here's all things that are ready for good. All things, you're more than conqueror. In all things, you're more than a conqueror. All things are good, and you're more than a conqueror. You're winning. Aren't you winning? You win when you're down in the bottom of the pile. You win when you're in the middle. You win morning and night. You're winning. You're winning. All things have to be for good. That means for you, God, to work them out. And we're more than a conqueror in them. So we aren't going to get depressed, defeated, dismayed, disappointed, discouraged. We aren't going to have any of that. No, we're going to win. And we have to understand that, because I'm going to let you love us. So it is a question, well, how could God let that happen? Why did God let that happen? How come God did that? I don't know. God, you know. But you have good reason, and I know it's good. And I know, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm not going to succumb. I'm not going to get knocked down. I'm not going to let that happen. No, sir, not going to happen at all. And in the light of that, we'll do it too quick. Revelation chapter 2 for a moment, as you know. Revelation chapter 2. And you know, the church in Ephesus, which is a major model church, but at this point, it isn't like it was back in Ephesians. Years have gone by, and they aren't doing too good. Therefore, Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, you know, to the church in Ephesus, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee." Why is that? "Because thou hast left thy first love." You lost your love for me. You neglected it. It didn't matter. It became indifferent. You got caught up in your world and trying to do this and trying to do that, and you forgot me. You forgot my love. I am love. You forgot my will for your life. You forgot how you can succeed. Why all things are together for good. You're more than a conqueror in them all. You guys are going to go down the tubes, and that's what's going to happen, because God is going to put out the candlestick, as it were. Now, so God, I don't want to lose my first love. Once you lose that love, my dear friend, you're coming and going without the love, God's wonderful will for your life. And you're listening to somebody else and some other thing to govern and guide you, your mood, your manner, and you're getting caught up, and you've lost the wonderment of God loving you. All things are for good, and they have to be more than a conqueror. You have to be. Wow. Wow. In the thick and thin, God help us. God help us. Wow. What can I say? And Jude, right next door, Jude, verse 21. Jude 21. "Keep yourself in the love of God." Keep, guard, watch, be alert, be on your toes. Keep yourself in, by means of. How am I going to keep and watch myself? Keep yourself. God's love is going to protect you. He's the agent, the love of God. God, in all of His love, is going to protect you. Don't you try to protect in some form when you were growing up, little children or something? Don't you try to protect them and help them to get the best as much as you're able, depending on a whole lot of things? Don't you do that? And if we have such a, think of Luke, if we have such a heavenly Father, and we know how to give good gifts to our children, etc., how much more will God give to you? He won't give you a snake or some other thing, a poison egg or anything else. God is good, and I need to let that goodness work. Keep yourself, God, in the love of God. Wow. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. God, we got to keep. In closing, quickly, over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. And you will note, God, I want to keep myself in your love. I don't want to get, when something happens, I'm sure you're going to have last week and this week coming up, you're going to have something happen in your life, something happen, work, home, school, whatever you're doing, and you're going to have an occasion where you can exercise, if you choose, if you're saved, God, I want your love, I thank you for loving me, I want you to exercise your wonderful will for my life, that is, I want you to be loving me, thank you very much. And I know it's going to come out good, and I don't know how this is going to come out. It doesn't look very good, but God, it's going to come out okay. That's right, it's going to come out. And I'm to be more than a conqueror through Him that loved us, because nothing can separate me, Romans 8, 35 to 39, nothing can separate me from your love. Nothing can separate me from your love. Nothing. Well, I got that. Now, hang on. Thus, Ephesians, picking up if I can, verse 60, that he would, in the great prayer, back when Ephesians was a little better, years earlier, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that he being rooted and grounded, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, in the middle. You're surrounded. And it doesn't give you any target. It leaves it. You are surrounded in every way, on every occasion, by God's wonderful person, doing all that he does. And thus the next statement, as you know, verse 19. And we know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge. That means you can't understand it. You aren't going to sit there and say, no one could love me like that. Wrong. God can, no one else can. No one else in the whole world can love you like that. And all the people that love you really don't when it's all done. No offense. When it's all done. That means, it doesn't mean they don't mean they care, doesn't mean they don't cry when you die, etc. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the highest, wonderful awesomeness of comparing love, God's, with human love, and boy, there's no comparison. None whatsoever. Now, so God, you're going to love us with all your heart and with all and filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able, verse 20, able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to his power that worketh in us. God be glory in the church. That's right. Verse 21. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. God, it's all about you. That's correct. And I'm trying to help you understand. I'm in the upper room. The last thing I'm going to tell you now, I'm going to go. But before I go, I want you to know that you, dear men and women sitting there, I love you all the way to forever. And I want you to know that. My love insists. My love persists. God quit. If God quits, you'll never make it to heaven. Love insists, persists, and assists us in all that we do. So in all, no matter all things work together for good, your wonderful assistance. Wow. I wish I could help you better. It's an awesome thing, he said. Who loves you like that? You want to be loved. By who? By what? And where will it take you? Now put God in the picture. And boy, everything else drops down and it comes up. God, you made me for your wonderful person. You made us. Wow, we've got to quit. Our Father and God, we thank you for caring and loving. And God, here we are. God, that's all we are. Frail, faulty. God. And you love us. God, we don't deserve that. I don't know, God. Thanks a bunch. So deal with us, with each heart, each person. May each one come to know, be believing on your receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. May each one be looking and learning and being moved, motive, Spirit of God, you have to do the work to get us to be educated in order to be experiencing, in order to be enjoying all of the marvelous of your wonderful person. Thank you for loving us, God. Thank you for caring. Thank you. And all we have to do is abide. That's all we have to do is abide. Wow. Thank you very much. In Christ's name. Mm-hmm.